Welcome back to the What Are You Driven By podcast. In this season, in season two, we're really exploring the challenges and changes that shaped who people are and also what drives them. So maybe you're going through a difficult time or someone you love is going through a difficult time. So our goal is to help you discover someone that went through a similar situation and can give you the strength or the insight to help you make it through. So make sure you subscribe to the What Are You Driven By podcast and connect with us online at Driven By Co. Now on this episode, we have Damian Murray joining us, and he is the founder of Simple Touch Solutions. So Damian, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, hello. So my name is Damian Murray, as you said before. I'm the founder of Simple Touch Solutions, and what we do is we help businesses and small and personal and businesses stand out through branding solutions. And we just basically make the solution simple by helping you brand and stand out from the competition.
Amazing. So what made you get into that?
In my past, I was a serial entrepreneur. I was always doing little businesses here, clothing lines here. And one of the things that I realized is that I kept changing my mind about how certain things will look. And then when I realized that, you know, branding is what helps you stand out, it kind of piqued my interest and allowed me to kind of do it for myself, but also help individuals. And through realizing that, I realized that a lot of individuals need it and really enjoy it too as well.
Amazing. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your story? What makes you you and how you got to where you are today? Give us a little bit of insight into that path.
That's a very good question. So at a very young age, it was just my mom and I, so single mom home. And really, my passion was to kind of help out as much as I can. So I started working when I was 14. So with having the job at 14, I was able to provide for the house and just be that person to help my mom out. And that kind of gave me the passion to kind of, as growing up, is try to give back as much as possible, knowing that we didn't have much growing up.
Wow. And then in terms of your professional journey, because you started working at 14, which means you have loads of experience. So what did that professional journey look like for you?
Oh, that's so many jobs. So I my first job was McDonald's. Shout out to McDonald's. And then through there working, I'm gonna date myself, but going back to when the Skydome used to work there. So Skydome, Foot Locker, all the shoe stores that you can name, I pretty much worked at all of them. And then recently my last stint was basically in the technology sector, which was with Telus and Samsung. So that was a combination of about 16 years in that space. So that really taught me a lot of based on customer service, technology, and just how everything worked. So the combination of all of those fields kind of gotten into where I am right now.
Wow, that's a long time in the technology sector. So what's something that you learned that you know, most people might not know about that field?
In that field is that we rely heavily on technology, and I know it's not something that we haven't learned yet, but it's just the intricate things of how certain things work, like how, you know, a text message work, or how does a camera work. And it really opened my knowledge in a sense of like taking pictures and really honing my skills in those sectors.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so looking back on your whole career now, so all the way from McDonald's to owning multiple businesses, out of all that experience, what would you say overall is the biggest lesson that you learned?
The biggest lesson is customer service. I feel that is very important in any field that you go through, whether it's technology, clothing, it's customer service and knowing how to handle escalations, knowing how to talk to a customer, know how to follow up. Those things are skills that kind of went with me through every one of my career and just really taught me how to really take care of a customer and listen to their needs. Because a lot of businesses don't really listen to customers' needs, but when you take that time to listen, it makes such a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Is there a specific situation that, you know, in which you learned that specific lesson? Like there was a situation where you knew that just by listening to someone, you could solve a problem, or maybe there was a time where you saw someone else who just completely didn't listen to their customer and it caused a big problem.
I actually have a great story about that. Thanks for
Ooh.
bringing that up. So, shout out to Katrina, and I'll explain a little bit more. But Katrina was a real estate agent. She walked into my store one day, and she had a BlackBerry, and she was livid. I mean, cursing everything. She was livid, and really and truly, when we got to the bottom of it, it's just that she needs her phone because of the business that she ran, which was real estate. So once I was able to kind of analyze those needs and kind of help her out and get her into a new device, she was very happy. And that relationship grew so much that she actually came to my wedding from
What? Wow.
So that was probably the best story I've ever had. And then we've been friends ever since. And shout out to Katrina. But that was, I think, the best story ever, where a customer escalation became a long-term friend.
Wow. I mean, I think that's a one of those rare cases. You usually pat yourself on the back for dealing with it and being able to handle it, let alone becoming long-term friends and inviting this person to your wedding. That's amazing.
And we're still friends to this day, and I play basketball with her son as well, and know her family very well, so.
Wow. So she was angry about her BlackBerry not working. Did you convert her to
And then from
Samsung or did
then
you?
on, no, we converted her over to iPhone, and then she lived on with her whole ecosystem's Apple.
Hey,
I
most
know, I know. It's
of
whatever the customer, listen to whatever the customer needs, right?
you're absolutely right. See, case in point. So going back into your work history and even just your life, like it, can you think of a time, although you've had so much experience, whether it is personally or professionally, was there a time where you felt like you didn't have any motivation?
I can look at two times. One time was when I was very young. I was labeled as a had a learned disability. So that was one of the things that kind of stuck with me for a very long time until I was able to get out of that. And the other time that I could think of that was very major was COVID. I know that was a big period for a lot of people, but having the world shut down and not being able to really communicate or have that interaction with people, it really took a toll on me, and just really didn't find any motivation. And even though we were, the family was together, it's just you felt like you were in your own world when it came to COVID because you felt so isolated.
Wow, yeah, it feels like it was so long ago, but also it's a big blur in the memory. And I can certainly relate. And also, when it came to when you were younger and sort of the learning disability, what was that like for you?
It was tough because you were put into a special class. Your friends are looking at you like you're different. And when I looked at it from my perspective now to what it was, I don't think it necessarily was a learning disability, but it's just a system that labeled you as a learning disability. And it was more just not having interest in certain things and not taking the time and really want to learn it. And that's why I look at youth these days. It's like, no, it's not a learning disabilities. Yes, there's extreme situations where it has to be assessed by a doctor, but I'm not dismissing that at all. But I'm just saying, like, certain things that it's just more of a effort, or even if you really care about it. And that's what I kind of realized, is that whenever I'm passionate about it, if I really care about it, I'll put all my effort into it.
Interesting. So you realize that maybe it wasn't a lack of motivation, it was just a lack of interest.
Correct.
So as you grew, how did you discover what you were passionate about?
Definitely mentors, and really, because there the thing is, when you're in your own world, you kind of don't see your victories and see the things that you were able to accomplish. But when you have great mentors and great people beside you to kind of say, hey, look, you just did that, and really encouraging you and really bringing you to another level, you're able to kind of step up and level up in the sense of, okay, I can do this, I am good at this. And shout out to another person, Tyler. He was one of those ones where he was able to kind of motivate me, and just the family around me and the love that to say, hey, you are really good at this and you need to continue in what you're doing. And oh yeah, shout out to there's a lot of shout outs because it takes a village, right? Shout out to Hugh as well. She's the one that she was the biggest supporter of Love 'Em, and she was able to kind of pique my interest and say, hey, you're really good at branding, to kind of take this really seriously, this form Simple Touch.
Okay, so I know Love 'Em, you know Love 'Em, but our listeners don't know Love 'Em. So we need to explain what Love 'Em is and give the backstory.
So Love 'Em was a clothing brand that started in it actually started in COVID in 2019, lasted for 4 years, and it was a clothing brand that inspired love and generosity. So our main thing was to sell clothing that had positive messages, but also give back to the community. And we've done so many great things through Love 'Em and Driven By. We could the food drive, the Boys and Girls Club, the there's so many things that we did that was so great and that really inspired the community around us. So that is what Love 'Em is.
Now, did Love 'Em, was that the catalyst, or was that the thing that brought back your passion and motivation in the pandemic, do you think?
100%. 100%. The reason why that I would say that is because it brought so many people together, even though we're so apart. And the messages, the amount of messages that I've received from our clients or our customers that say, hey, I really enjoyed this. You know, this brought a positive light to my friends and my family members, and just really seeing the clothing out there. I think one of the coolest point when, somebody called me and said, hey, I saw somebody in your Love 'Em gear, like, do you know this person? I'm like, no, I don't. But it was just so amazing that it was spreading so much that even the people that we didn't know was reaching further.
That's incredible. And it's true. It's true. We really made an impact, and Love 'Em really
Yes, we
made its
did.
mark in the community. So what I love about everything that just happened, so you shared two stories about times your motivation was low. And the first one was about that learning disability that separated you. And I love that we were able to peel back the layers and identify that no, it wasn't a lack of motivation. It was that lack of interest, that lack of passion in the subject matter. And then later on in life, in the pandemic, you were isolated and you felt like you didn't have the community. So maybe it wasn't a lack of motivation, it was a lack of community. And in that lack of community, there's that absence of all the energy that you're able to bounce off people. And so using Love 'Em as a catalyst to not only make an impact on other people, but also impact you, have that be a part of that energy again, was a really great way to pull yourself out of that funk and have something that you're interested in and passionate about. So I love that there's all these different elements when we're talking about motivation. It's not just motivation and here, I'll give you some motivation and you get going. It's more like, am I interested in this? Do I have the
Definitely.
community around me?
I actually want to let you into a really when Love 'Em was first started. So I actually pitched this idea to Love 'Em or for Love 'Em to a friend. I'm not going to name names, and that person said that I don't believe in it. I don't want to work with you, and I don't see it as a good idea. Could you believe that?
Wow.
But I said okay. But shout out to and these are just the individuals of Love 'Em that I want to kind of give a shout out. Shout out to my wife Kyla, shout out to Danielle, shout out to Naomi, shout out to UD, shout out to Dev, Samantha, Danielle, if I mentioned that, and just the individuals that were able to essentially come together as a team, not knowing what it'll end up to be, and just bringing that vision into actual reality. So took a team.
Yeah, and it goes to show that, sometimes not everybody's going to believe in you. And it really takes just focusing on the people who do believe in you to make
Yes,
these amazing
I
things
totally
happen.
agree.
Because you could have stopped there, if someone told you it wasn't a good idea, you could have stopped there and let it discourage you and dissuade you from continuing, but you didn't. And luckily you were able to curate your community with people who were supportive and were excited about the project. So In terms of finding your motivation again, what would you attribute having high levels of motivation to? Is it the community? Is it the interest? Is it, what is it for you?
I think it's all the above, because you, in order to have motivation, you have to have kind of a dream. And I know when people look at dreams, it's like, oh, it's not, sometimes it's not achievable, it's not attainable. But if you really like say this is a dream and just do it. I know that's the Nike saying, just do it. But once you're able to do something and keep consistent at it, it will become successful, and it will draw people that are motivated and have the same vision as you. And I think that's what attested to my motivation, just starting something but not giving up on it, and then finding people that are of the same page, on the same page, and want that same vision to happen.
I really think it's an energy exchange because I can certainly relate in terms of what it's like to have that community around you. And sometimes when you're feeling low, but someone else has that extra energy to give, as long as you're in the same ecosystem and in the same circle, you can share that energy. And then all of a sudden, their energy and their motivation becomes yours.
Yeah. Case in point, the
Exactly.
entrepreneurship program.
Now, this next question is very closely related to the motivation question, but I'm trying to uncover maybe some insights that other people who are listening, who are going through or working on a project or working on something that they might not feel inspired by anymore or motivated by. So is there something or certain elements from maybe your experience in management as well? How can people become more engaged by a goal or a project?
I think personally is think big. Don't ever think small, because I think one thing that kind of limits individuals is when they think small and they just try to attain that small goal. But think the first step is think big. The second step is, once you think big, make it simple and take it one step at a time, and really attain those goals, because each step, each win will motivate you to get to the same level. Like, for instance, Simple Touch was just, it was just a dream. It's just a passion that now is turned into a full-fledged business, but it took small steps. And I even have bigger dreams for Simple Touch Solutions, but it's more just taking it one step at a time and making it simple.
I like that. I think that's really practical advice because it doesn't limit you. So you if you think big, you have that big dream, but it's not that you focus on the big goal and the big dream. It's you now break that up to the smaller pieces and then just focus on those one step at a time. So is there any tools that you implement to help keep you on track or, as you're working on your business and achieving these smaller goals, is there something that you use to maybe show you your progress that maybe someone else could take advantage of?
I'm a little bit a different person, but one of the things that kind of keeps me on track is just really taking some time to really look at the products that I've done before in the past, and just really celebrate the victories. Because once you're so busy in the hustle and bustle of everything that you're doing, you don't really take time to actually celebrate what you've done so far. And that's what I don't necessarily have a system. It's just more just taking time to say, oh, I did this for this person, or I did this for this company, and this is huge. And one of the things that made me really say that this is a really good thing is one of the logos that Simple Touch designed. It was on a truck, and I was passing by and I saw the logo with the truck, and you're like, oh. It's like one of those moments where it's like, mama, I made it.
Literally, I made that.
Exactly.
That's amazing. And you know what? It makes me think about I recently had a meeting with my business mentor, and we talked a lot about gratitude. And I use a gratitude journal every day, as you know. And
Yes,
she
shout
had
out. Get
yeah, the plug right there. Get your good morning and good night gratitude journal. It's on Amazon.
Exactly.
But in that meeting with my mentor, she had me reflect on the things that I was grateful for. And so in that moment, I'm flipping through the pages. I'm looking at every day what I'm writing for, what I'm grateful for. And it was always things like my family, my cat, my house, waking up, the ability to do this, you know, the fact that I'm capable of walking and running, all these very basic things that I'm very, very grateful for and very lucky to have. However, she pointed out that there was no gratitude for accomplishments in my business. And I thought, that's very strange. And so it speaks to what you're talking about in terms of being able to be grateful and reflect on the accomplishments that you have had in your business as a way to motivate you to do more. And when I looked at my own gratitude journal, I'm thinking, well, why is it that I'm not proud of or I'm not writing down my business accomplishments? What is the reason for that? So I really think you're right. And I think that just by taking time to look back and say, this is what I did, and allow yourself time to be proud of it, then you can start to think, well, what else is possible?
Right? That 100%. And just, and honestly, like, we worked together in a while, and I actually look at you as motivation because all the things that you do. And sometimes I'm like, okay, if D's doing that, okay, I can do that too. Let's go.
I know. Yeah, I'm always looking for the next thing, and there's definitely a lot of people who inspire me as well to dream big, and I think that's what it comes down to not limit yourself to what you think is possible, but start believing in what might be possible.
Exactly.
You never know.
Apple started out of a garage.
Exactly, and so did Amazon. There's a photo, I don't know if you've seen it before, but there's a photo, I believe it's of Steve Jobs,
Yes.
or not Steve Jobs, of,
Wozniak?
no, sorry, from Amazon. What's his name? Jeff
Oh, Jeff
Bezos.
Bezos.
And he's sitting in this old office with a bunch of papers on his desk, and it's spray painted on the wall, Amazon.com. And it's super rudimentary. And I'm like, wow, if Amazon started there, anything's possible in the future. You just have to be
100%.
consistent, because that was, I think it was 1997 or 1998 that that picture came from. We're in 2020, 2023 or 2024 now, depending on when you're listening to this. And Amazon's here. Everybody knows Amazon.
It's so easy to get to. Some of the things you don't even go to the store anymore. So it's like Amazon. That's it's normal language now.
And in the pandemic, oh my gosh, Amazon was.
Oh, came clutch.
Yeah, exactly. So now, okay, I'm taking it back to your journey. We'll focus on you and not Jeff Bezos anymore. I want to know, I have to ask everyone this question, but Damien, what are you driven by?
Honestly, the main things that I'm driven by is definitely family. Because supporting the family and supporting the ones you love is definitely has to be number one. And number two is helping people. The amount of people that I love to help is just it just brings me joy and brings me happiness when I can see a smile on someone else's face, and not keeping my skills to myself. And that's essentially what drives me is to A, my family, and B, helping people as
I
much
know.
as I can.
And it's true. I know Damien. I know the listeners, they might not know you, but that is absolutely true. That is what you do on a day-to-day basis. If there's something that you can identify or something that you hear someone say about what they need to do or what they want to do, you always offer, how can I help with that? I can help you with that. I can connect you with this person, or I can do this for you. That's
Some people
absolutely in
call me
your.
the walking. Sorry, some people call me the walking Rolodex sometimes.
It's true. It is true. And that's what it does, you know, by helping people, you are able to expand your network. And they say that your network is your net worth. So there you go.
Need to make it bigger.
Exactly. Now I know I'm sure that brings you a lot of happiness. So I
Yes.
want to know, what do you think people in general, other people, what do they need to be happy?
See, that is a tough question because everyone's different. So what might bring me happiness might not bring you happiness. But I think the main advice that I would give is whatever your happiness is, don't compromise it for other people. Because the moment that you compromise your happiness for other people is the moment that you lose that and you lose your happiness. So keep it for, not to say keep it for yourself, but keep it for you, because our tanks need to be refilled in order for us to give it back to somebody else.
That is so true. That is so true. You're speaking to me right now, because sometimes you get caught up in what you have to do for other people and you put yourself at the bottom of the list.
That is true.
And then once your tank is empty and you're burnt out, you've got nothing left to give.
So self, what was it? Self-care is something that a lot of people need to take seriously, right? And it's pretty sad because a lot of business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs, we work so hard that we don't have time for self-care, but we need to take that time where it's just like, okay, I'm not doing this project or I'm not doing this. And I heard something online just this morning, actually, from Swiss Beats. He said that he worked hard so that he could say no. Take that in. He worked really hard so that he could say no. And so, you know, most entrepreneurs are at this level where it's like, okay, we got to work hard and say yes to everything to make sure that our business succeed. But then we got to get to that level where we're able to say, you know what? No, we can't do that project, or not today, or just say no for your own sanity and your own peace and your own self-worth and your own self-care, right?
Absolutely. And it's very true. Especially when you're starting out as an entrepreneur, you want to be there and make yourself available or capable of doing everything that you get asked to do. And what does that end up doing? It has you stretched thin, and then it takes you away from your core mission. So if there's one particular thing that you want to do over and over again, and you want to do it really, really well, it's hard to do that when you're saying yes to everything, because all of a sudden you're flexing yourself to make sure you deliver on this or deliver on this and that and all these other check boxes instead of what it is that you initially set out to do. So in terms of self-care, what do you do for your self-care?
I don't know if it's really self-care, but because I keep getting injured, but definitely it's it's basketball. That is my self-care. I could play basketball for so long, for probably like 2-3 hours straight, but then it just not do anything good for my body after. But it keeps me active.
Well, if you love it.
But yeah, I do. It's just one of those things where it's like when I'm on the court, I don't think about anything else but, you know, making that next play, making that next shot, helping my teammates, and just really that community and team aspect. But then afterwards, it really hurts.
So I think we need to have you do some yoga and stretching as well before.
Yep, definitely.
We're going to have to add that to the self-care list.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so I've got one more question for you. And, you know, based on everything that we've chatted about, or anything else in your experience, what advice would you give to others based on your experience?
The main thing is don't be labeled by what somebody else tells you what you should be. And the other thing too is that your future is only determined by God and nobody else. Because there are so many times where people listen to other people that are not successful, that are not doing anything, but and then they're defined by that. Like and don't get me wrong, I'm not dismissing, you know, taking advice from mentors and things like that. It's just when somebody thinks that they know better for your life, don't listen to it, you know. just really look at where God wants you to be and kind of follow that that passion and that create your own future in that sense.
I couldn't agree more. And I love that you mentioned that we should not be labeled by the definitions from other people. We should not take that
100%.
As how we define ourselves. Because you're very right. When someone is projecting their own emotions onto you, or if someone believes that it's not going to work out for you because it didn't work out for them, you can't let that affect you or discourage you or dissuade you. Otherwise, that would completely change your future. That would completely change whether or not you tried or attempted, or the opportunities that could come out of just making that attempt. Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful way to sum up the conversation. And, you know, from that experience when you had that learning disability and that was simply a label placed on you, not letting that define you for the rest of your life and continuing to try and to work hard. And like you said, a serial entrepreneur, trying new things, starting new things. You know, some people would have said, oh, you're not able to do it. Some people said that's not a good idea, but that didn't stop you. And because of that, you've met so many people, you've had so many new experiences, things that wouldn't have happened.
100%. I totally agree. I totally agree. And it's just an amazing journey so far, and it's not even over yet. It's just pretty much at the beginning.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insight, your experience, and some of the stories about what makes you you. I've had a pleasure listening to them. So, for our listeners, if they want to connect with you further, how can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at simpletouch.solutions, and our website is www.simpletouchsolutions.ca. And yeah, you can reach out to me there, DM me, or even just say hi.
Wonderful. Okay, you heard it here first. Make sure you connect with Damian Murray, the founder of Simple Touch Solutions, online at his website or on Instagram. And thank you so much for tuning in to the What Are You Driven By podcast. We'll see you on the next episode.